Welcome to She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine, a podcast made just for you. Your host is Felicia Stitzel, world traveler and influencer, professional photographer, sommelier, Navy veteran, and mom. Tune in every Thursday for solo episodes where she shares her life story and a wine highlight. Pour yourself a glass and let's dive in.
It's the final countdown. Okay, I'm done. I swear. But in serious, we have one episode after this left before we are all done with season three. How crazy is that? This is definitely the time I would love to have your guys' feedback on the kind of content you guys want to hear more of when we get into season four. And I would love to hear some insights on some of your favorite wines, if you've tried any of the ones that I've suggested, or if you just enjoy the wine descriptions, because I know they can be a little silly, but it's what I feel would be the best way to translate them to the public at large. I love painting mental pictures for people. And in doing that, today I have picked a super fun, special wine that I actually picked up when I was in Poland last year. I haven't been able to drink a lot of Polish wines, but thus far I have been pretty surprised on what Polish wines have to offer. So this is a 2018 Cabernet Cortis, which is a dry red wine from Winnica Jura. And I am super, super excited about it. Like I said, it's a 2018. But let me talk about a Cabernet Cortis a little bit. So I know everyone has heard of at least a Cabernet Sauvignon. Some will have heard of a Cabernet Franc. And then, I mean, those with a Sauvignon, then you can also get to the Sauvignon Blanc. And these are big, big names in grape varietals, right? Well, a Cabernet Cortis is actually a hybrid grape that is from the Cabernet family that was bred in Germany in 1982. And it is a Cabernet, it's a breeding between a Cabernet Sauvignon and Muscadet or Lyon and a Cerbefi. Oh, that's another one I can't say. But this is a red wine that has actually technically been around since the 400s, but it's kind of gone between different names and different profiles and different DNA morphages as people keep breeding these grapes between all of these different varietals. But in 1982 in Germany, this particular grape was able to be sought out as a very resistant to disease, which of course is really big because, of course, all throughout Europe, we had phylloxera here, and then you have mold issues and rot issues. And so obviously if the grapevine itself tends to be more tolerant against fungal and other diseases, it's definitely one that people are like, I need to try this. So Poland decided to run with it. So I'm really excited about this one because it's been a little while, I feel like, since I've had a red wine on the show. So here we go. Oh, wow. It's almost like a breed between, on the nose at least, between like a Malbec and a Pinot Noir. Because like you get a lot of like forest fruit flavors of like blackberry and raspberry. But then you also get a lot of other notes like paprika and pepper. Lots and lots. Like you can even tell the tannins on this just from looking at it, for one. But then for two, like you can smell it a lot. So let's dive into the taste. Oh, yeah. Definitely getting a lot of that blackberry. A lot of blackberry. But a lot of that black pepper too, with a mix of like the green pepper and a little bit of like smoked wood. Very interesting. Very interesting. I really like this, actually. I need to start sipping it a little bit more, but don't worry. I'll do that after the podcast episode. For this particular podcast episode, I figured since we are going to Poland for our wine, we would go to Petra for our story. So let's dive in. Thank you. I've actually been thinking about Petra and Israel a lot lately, and it's been kind of building a lot more just because I've had a friend, or not really a friend, but a lady I follow on social media, and her husband just went to Petra, and then just a few months before that, there was another lady I followed on Instagram who she was in Jordan, and I just remember when I was able to go to Jordan and how amazing it was, and how it's just truly, truly unique, and I'm dying to go back. Like, honestly, this is like a cry for help because I'm dying to go back, and I don't think that there's really a lot of restrictions to get into Jordan right now, but that is for another day of wine and flight shopping. Anyways, so it's been 8 years since I was in Petra, and man, it was absolutely amazing. Now, a lot of people, they actually know Petra because of Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, which, of course, I mean, I loved that movie growing up. I was actually surprised recently to hear about how many of my friends never actually watched Indiana Jones growing up, whereas, like, with me and my siblings, like, we watched it all the time. When I first went to Petra, though, it was in late August, which means that there was no amount of light layering and white to help deflect the sun that was going to stop this Alaskan girl from literally sweating her butt off, because it is hot. It is super hot. So I feel like if I'm going to go to Petra, I'm going to go like in the spring. Maybe I'll go next spring for my birthday. We'll see. My most favorite thing about Petra, though, is obviously outside of the archaeology and the markets, is the beautiful painted rocks. Now, obviously, they're not literally painted. This is all geology. And it was beautiful. You can be walking through the Nabataean temples and you can see these beautiful colors of pinks and grays and yellows and sandstone browns and just this beautiful, majestic coloring layers of this, you know, enclosure of the Rose City. So there is a very, very long history of Petra, and of course, it's known for its archaeological sites in the southwestern portion of the Jordanian Desert, which of course is where Petra is. But this dates all the way back to 300 BC. Petra was the capital of the Nabataean Kingdom, which, believe it or not, there's actually people who are from this ancient civilization that are distant, obviously, relatives of, that still take care of this area. Obviously, because of the archaeological significance of it, it has become a UNESCO World Heritage Site. But I gotta tell you what, the Rose City, which of course, because of the pink sandstone cliffs, is what gives it really its name, is just the one of the most stunning things that you've ever seen. Like, it literally, you think as you're walking up to it, This has to be a fake. Like, there's some CGI screens hiding this somewhere, but it's just, this can't be real. It's too beautiful, and it's built right into the side of a freaking mountain. Like, there's no way that this is real. Most people only actually know about the treasury, which of course is the Al-Khazin temple, which is known as the treasury. But this of course is what we all saw growing up, if you actually watched it, in Indiana Jones. That is actually not the main building. That's actually like one of the first buildings that you see. If you keep walking around the side, you go into this huge ancient civilization area where there are homes built into like pueblos, or not pueblos, but like homes built into the side of the rock, like you would see in Mesa Verde in Colorado. There are these giant amphitheaters. There is these huge temples that you can see, and they're all built into the rocks here, and it is absolutely fascinating. As you're walking down the long canyon to get there, because it really is like the crescent moon that you see in Indiana Jones, it then suddenly opens up to this huge hidden city. And that's one thing that has been so cool of when you actually experience it, because you just keep walking and walking. You're like, all right, I know eventually I'm going to make it there, but you just keep walking and walking. And yes, you can take a donkey down if you really wanted to, or if you are physically impaired and you still want to go see this, you can hire a donkey to walk you down there and to travel you around. But I mean, for me, it was just really cool to be able to walk the whole thing. And you're just going through and around these all like amazing, tight, thin, narrow corners. And you're just like, okay, it's got to be showing up here somewhere. It's got to be showing up. And then suddenly the whole canyon falls away from you and then you see it. And I really want to go back because I really want to see the temple and the whole city at night because they have these lanterns that they put in front of it. And then, of course, there is no light pollution out there, which means that I feel like the photography is going to be amazing. Like all the night photography that I could do there would be freaking amazing. But I have to wait till I go back. What I think is so interesting about this site is because not only architecturally is it phenomenal, and you think about the history that is sitting literally in the rocks, but how it was the lost city for hundreds of years. I mean, the Nabataean Empire was between 400 BC and 106 AD, and then it just was like a ghost town. It's like the rapture happened for this city alone and everything else just stayed still. So it ran into, you know, ruin for centuries because there was only a small village just behind the golden or the Rose City that has inhabitants still and that were kind of keeping an eye on the city. But it wasn't until the early 1800s that the whole city was basically rediscovered. There was this European traveler who disguised himself as a Bedouin and then infiltrated it because, like, infiltrated the city because there's been all of these, like, mystique around the lost city. I swear, it's like Atlantis, but above water. And then it wasn't until 1985 that Petra was an archaeological park was declared as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And in 2007, it was actually named as one of the seven wonders of the world, of the New World. And, I mean, I gotta tell you, though, like, what I love is that, yes, Petra is starting to get more touristy and it is starting to become more popular. But when I went in 8 years ago, this was, 2014? That means that it was only named one of the seven wonders of the world 7 years prior. So yeah, there were still people when we went there. But honestly, like in comparison to what there is probably or was before COVID was and then up to where we are now, I mean, the world is still discovering it. And I think that that is probably one of the coolest things because you're just like, how? How has this been able to stay a secret for so long? And then suddenly it's just, it kind of pops up on people's radar and then it disappears again. And I swear there's like this like weird mystery mystique happening around Petra. So if you have ever found yourself in a position that you're like, that sounds like that would be a really cool place to visit. I highly recommend visiting Petra. The people are amazing, although just be prepared because the kids can be a little aggressive on trying to sell you something. And if you tell them no multiple times, like they kind of get a little aggressive about it vocally. They don't actually physically get aggressive. But honestly, like the food that I had, the locations that I got to see, the experience that I got to have, it was absolutely amazing. And I definitely recommend that if you're already in Jordan, you need to go visit the Wadi Rum Desert because apparently it's phenomenal. I'm already looking at, because I have a sickness of travel apparently, and I am wanting to actually experience the Wadi Rum. And there's a telescope that's out there and satellites and all this amazing stuff because, like I said, no light pollution. So imagine the kind of photos that I could get with that. Oh, I'm so excited. Anyways, I hope that you guys enjoyed this brief little trip back in time to tell you about the Painted City and the Rose City of Petra. Be sure to subscribe, stay tuned, because season 4 is getting ready, and I am so excited to share that with you. So, subscribe, like, sip, share, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Cheers.